Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I pray that God will bless you, your families, and your friends on this evening before Thanksgiving. And I praise God for the opportunity to be with you, to remember His gifts, and to give thanks with you here at Hope. To even have a moment like this, a moment to gather publicly, to offer prayers and praises to God and to receive His gifts through His Word and His sacrament is something for which we can give thanks. This is not an opportunity that all of our brothers and sisters in Christ have around the world. And so, for this moment, to gather publicly, we can be thankful. On this occasion, I would like to turn our attention to the Word of God, which we spoke together responsively toward the beginning of our service this evening, Psalm 100. In your Bibles, when you read Psalm 100, what you'll often find above verse 1 is an inscription that says, "A psalm for giving thanks." And that's not simply something that the editors of our English Bibles inserted into that psalm. That's actually there in the Hebrew. Very possibly written by the original author of this psalm. One can imagine the scenario. This person sits down with heart full of gratitude, putting pen to parchment to express thanksgiving in a way that will glorify God and perhaps help some other people put to voice thanksgiving to God for His faithfulness to them as well. God has used those words, Psalm 100, in amazing and powerful ways. For here we are, perhaps as many as 3,000 years removed from the original author, still using his or her words to express our gratitude to God, who has kept us this year and who's blessed us in amazing ways. So, my question for you this evening is this: if you were the one commissioned to write a song, poem to give thanks, what might yours sound like? What thoughts might you include? For many of us, some of the first things that come to mind when we ponder that for which we give thanks are what I would call first article gifts. They are many of the things that Martin Luther rattled off in his explanation to the first article of the Apostles' Creed. What does it mean for God to be the maker of heaven and earth? It means that we believe He has made us together with all creatures, and that He has given us all of these things that bless our day-to-day existence in this life. He gives us things like food and drink, clothing and shoes, house and home, spouse and children. He gives us the gifts of friends, gainful employment, technology, education, good government, safety, even something like the gift of a good reputation. As we think of all these things, it's right for us to give thanks and praise to God for them. And very often, God blesses us with these gifts through the people that He places into our lives. And so we can take a moment not only to thank and praise God, but to also thank those through whom the blessings of God come. So, for example, tonight, I thank you, the people of God here at Hope, for the way that you bless and support my family and me as we partner together in ministry on a daily and weekly basis. And you can thank moms and dads and friends, store associates, police officers, military, mailmen, your boss, and all sorts of other people through whom God has blessed you in this past year. And so we give thanks. We give thanks to God, for He has made us and not we ourselves, as the psalmist says. Moreover, we give thanks and praise to God because He keeps and sustains us and not we ourselves. Truly wise people get this, that everything we have and everything we are is a gift from the hand of God, that He is the Creator, not us. I think this is the beginning of wisdom. I think it's at the heart of what it means to fear the Lord, to recognize that He is the Creator and Maker and Giver of every good and perfect gift. But if you're going to be the one writing the song, the poem of thanksgiving, in addition to all these first article things we just rattled off, what else might you include? Are there other reasons to give thanks that go beyond the day-to-day circumstances of our present lives? Probably, for many of us, this past year was filled with lots of good things for which we are thankful. We had enough to eat this year. We were able to support our family. We were clothed and housed. We had lots of good things from the hand of our Creator God. But what is there to say for those for whom these last 12 months have been pretty rough? There are some in this room who have lost dearly loved companions, family, friends in the past year. Hearts have been broken. Some have suffered through unemployment or underemployment. Some have struggled or continue to struggle with health difficulties. I've often heard people say that one of the reasons they stay thankful is that they remember that someone else out there always has it worse. And I say to that, okay. But what if you're the person actually at the bottom of the list somewhere on earth? I mean, if someone always has it worse, there's probably like one person on earth who's actually at the bottom of that list. And maybe in certain circumstances, you feel like it's you. When you feel like you perhaps have it worse, worst of all people on the face of the earth, even in a moment like that, is there something about which you could give thanks? Is there something about which even that person could give thanks? In a moment like this, in a moment where we struggle to come up with that for which we can be thankful, the writer of Psalm 100 helps us. God helps us through this individual to lift our thanksgiving to another level. The beauty of Psalm 100 is that it gives us room to thank God for all of the first article gifts that we talked about a little bit earlier, while at the same time lifting our eyes above the gifts to the one who gives them. Not only do we thank God because He made us together with all creatures and because He gives us lots of good stuff, but we thank Him because simply He's good. We hear it from the writer of Psalm 100. We thank Him for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, because His faithfulness extends to all generations. Interestingly, if you think about the shape of the Lord's Prayer, there's ways in which the psalm and the Lord's Prayer coincide. In the Lord's Prayer, we give thanks and praise that God answers our fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. And a lot of the things for which we pray and a lot of the things for which we give thanks, I would say, fall under the category of that fourth petition, our daily bread in all of its various forms. But this psalm reminds us that there's all sorts of other reasons to give thanks and praise to God. In the Lord's Prayer, we would call them the first, the second, the third petition. For example, we pray, "Hallowed be thy name." Tonight, we give thanks. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, because you have revealed your name to us. You've revealed the goodness of your name, the goodness of your character toward us, namely and especially as you gave us your only begotten Son. We pray in the second petition, "Thy kingdom come." And tonight we give thanks and praise to God because He's brought us into a kingdom. He's given us the gift of an unshakable kingdom. an opportunity to live under the reign of our crucified and risen King, our Lord Jesus, at all times, and to know through Him that the loving kindness of our Father is indeed everlasting. Everlasting. It does not shift with the times. It does not waver like perhaps our own love or faithfulness does. It is constant, and it is for you. His loving kindness is everlasting. We pray in the third petition, Thy will be done. And tonight, we thank our God. We thank our Father that it was and is His will to save us. His faithfulness is to all generations. God made promises to people like Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah and Moses and David and Isaiah and others to bring a Savior, to bring a rescuer, to rescue us from our own rebellion, from our own fallenness, from our own sin. And He's fulfilled His promise by giving us such a Savior. He's fulfilled His promise by taking our brokenness and our sin upon Himself so that He might deliver to us His forgiveness, His healing. We hear about it in the gospel reading, for example, Luke chapter 17, Jesus' interaction with the lepers. He cleanses them of their disease, but even more, He cleanses them of their sin. Where is He going on the way when He meets these lepers? We hear it in verse 1 of the reading. He is journeying on His way to Jerusalem. Yes, He's going to heal these lepers along the way, but He is going to the place where He will provide ultimate healing, not only for these lepers, not only for the 9 or the one who came back and gave thanks, but for all people, for you, for me. So He gives Himself at the cross, the same Jesus, faithful and true, who gave Himself for us, who was raised to life again, meets us here again tonight to deliver His touch of healing and forgiveness through His word, through the gift of the sacrament, as He speaks to us and invites us, take and eat. This is My body given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Tonight, tomorrow, and in all of the days God gives us, we have reason to give thanks. We give thanks for His creative work, for He made us and He keeps us each and every day. We give thanks for His goodness, that His plans for you and for me are good. We give thanks for His love, consistent and unconditional, a love that meets us at our absolute worst to give us His absolute best. And we thank Him for His faithfulness to all generations. The promises we hear in the water connected to the Word, in the forgiveness that you hear in a place like this week after week after week, in the meal that we share, are promises that we can hold on to. At all times, we're forgiven, we're secure, we have a future and a hope that cannot be taken from us. It's hidden with our crucified, risen, and ascended and returning King, Christ Jesus our Lord. We give thanks in His name. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.